in her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit.
What a freaky fun Friday we have for you today, folks. No Mark Tremura. We'll have to wait till next week to get the recap on the Jake Owens party, although he did send us a video in the group chat yesterday. What a goof. He did send us a video, so we'll get a recap from him next week. No Gabe Neitzel today. So filling in, how lucky are we, Joshy? You'd prefer not to respond to that, would you?
I thought that was...
rhetorical?
Yes.
What do you mean? I'm the oldest person you got to fill in for Chewy. It's pretty simple.
I was really just ready to blare the air horn for the...
announcement.
Steve the Homer True.
I feel comfortable filling in for Chewy.
Yeah?
I'm not as Chewy as Chewy, but I get a lot of what he does.
Got shades of Chewy.
Yes. Yeah.
What an adjective, by the way. I'm not as Chewy as Chewy. Yes. Homer, we are thrilled to have you this morning. We have a very busy day on Friday, as we often do. Craig Karmazin's going to join the show. Jason Wilde's going to join the show. Obviously, no Rechew, because we don't have Chew. But I want to start with the story that seems to have taken social media by storm in the last 24 hours. And I wasn't even sure if Homer had seen this video. But I walked in this morning, asked him about it. Sure enough, you saw it. The couple at the Coldplay concert, Homer.
Yes.
Your reaction to this CEO and his colleague, co-worker, canoodling. Wow, we have got some alliteration happening this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, don't we? Canoodling at the Coldplay concert.
I'm always surprised when people don't realize that in today's world, everything can be seen or heard. And I would think that they're there, that they're very easy for other people to have taken pictures on their phone. It wouldn't have gone as big as it did. But I was more shocked at the more I've learned at him. Like, you know, I don't know his fooling around resume, but I think
you assume it's not just this one.
That's my belief, that there's a pattern generally. And then you wouldn't react like that. You know, you would say, oh, they were on the screen. So what?
Keep it together, right?
Yes.
Don't panic.
It'll move along. I'm more fascinated in his fooling around resume, though, given the way he panicked.
So he released a statement yesterday, and I don't have it in front of me, but I did, you know, read it several times. Was it a fake statement?
Yes.
Dang it! I got fooled!
Well, what is fake?
Fake is not released by him. You're talking about the one where what was supposed to be a private moment and of enjoying...
No, I saw a different one. Let me look it up. Maybe it was fake. Could
well,
not, fake.
There was also the possibility that something was written by somebody else for
sure,
him. But
I don't know
what you mean by fake.
Yeah, well, there was a few on social media of actual statements by the company and by the CEO that were totally made up by like parody accounts.
Oh my God, okay. I love that.
How do
I also
you know?
Love that it got me.
How do you know what? Because if you search the company and like all their social media and their press
it's
releases.
Not on their sites. It's just sort of out there. Okay,
right.
Good to know. So the sentiment was this. Was there anything wrong with the band putting these shots on the screen?
No.
Because that's an argument that people are making, is like you should be able to go into a space and you should be entitled to a certain level of privacy and you shouldn't have to worry about being thrown up on the Jumbotron or thrown up on the Kiss Cam or something. And again, this extends to sporting events as well, right? We go down to Fiserv Forum to enjoy a Marquette game or a Bucks game, and they do Kiss Cam and they do Flex Cam and they do the Lion King Baby Cam and all of those sorts of things.
Yep.
I just assume that you sort of signed a contract by purchasing the ticket that you can be a part of that stuff.
Yeah, and it's just accepted. It's part of the deal. Up until just what you said, I don't remember any situations where people go, this is outrageous. And there have certainly been a number of people that have been embarrassed by it, by, you know, like when you're sitting next to your sister or they want you to kiss or something.
Sure.
But so I think that's, again, that's the discussion that exists in everything now. They can be more negative, and that's fine. But I just think they're wrong.
I can't say claim to be an expert on this, but if I were to guess, knowing how litigious the world is and some of these agreements, once you purchase a ticket and enter the gates, then your rights are foregone because you are in public and it is their venue. Not saying you lose all your rights, but to be filmed or to be photographed, that is part of the deal. Because, say, let's think of, in a sense of, like, sports photography. If you're in the background of a Giannis Antetokounmpo dunk, you're not then welcome to compensation, nor are you welcome to anonymity.
Yep, right.
You are part of the whole deal there.
I think about when I sign my kids up for camp or sign my kids up for an event, there is always, in the fine print, you have to agree to be a part of photography. And if you would prefer not, that your children can be photographed at camp, having the time of their life so that they can use it for promotional content and things like that. But if you don't want your children to be photographed, you do have to check a little box down there saying, I would prefer that my children are not photographed and not used for promotional content,
I think there is, the argument becomes over, there's a limitation to what they can do. And the comment made by the lead singer probably puts them in greater risk than norm.
But also, to your point, their behavior.
Right, but you don't
ducking
have,
down under the table.
Right, but I don't need, I mean, if I was, I don't need the head singer to make a judgment on who and what he thinks we are or I am. What he said, now, was that legit, right? That wasn't made up either.
That was, and I do think it has since been deleted.
Okay.
Because I think the thread you're pulling on there is probably above and beyond what is, like, expected.
Because I think if the lead singer had gone, whoa, or something yes. like that, that's fine. But dude's fooling around on his wife. You can't go that yeah, far, I no. don't think. But
well,
anyway.
He made an observation is what he did,
right.
Okay? He
took yes, all an accurate the
clues,
one.
All the clues that were presented to him, and he made an observation. You know who, you know, we're talking about this thing about being in a public space and then being, you know, making a case for, well, I should be allowed to live, you know, in this space. This reminds me of Aaron Rodgers. Like, right, Joshy? Like, there's this idea of you go to a public place, but then the expectation that you are entitled to a certain level of privacy. Like, we have heard that from Aaron Rodgers,
Homer.
Oh,
this is, I was going to say, Homer has been on this one for a while of, if you didn't want people to talk about your marriage or who you were married to, you wouldn't randomly show up with a ring on your finger. That's just, it's simple as that. Like,
no, it's impossible to take him seriously. Now he's on the cover of US Weekly. I didn't know US Weekly existed, but you know, and I don't know that what he agreed to in there. But yeah, he did. You've talked about this. They did a documentary. It's laughable.
It's yes.
But he keeps selling it, so go
Wait,
for it.
Is it US Weekly? I always called it Us Weekly.
Might be Us Weekly.
I think it is Us.
Okay. The only US I ever think about is it US World and News Report or US World Report?
I think you're right. I think it's Us Weekly.
Do you remember when we were kids, guys, and you were looking at colleges and your parents would bring home the, is it US World Report, whatever? There was mm-hmm. one magazine that was basically
them.
Dedicated to ranking
I
the
I don't
universe.
Remember.
I think they still do.
Pre-internet, this was mm-hmm. a big deal, right? Because it was your way of thumbing through and seeing which of the colleges had your programs and which of them was a very big
we
deal.
We did not fill that out in our family. No. My parents had one rule. You're leaving home. You ain't come staying anywhere near where we live.
Closing
go to
time.
Any school you want, but get the hell out of
little
town.
Little closing time happening yes. at Homer's house.
That's right. Yes. And we all left.
So a lot of people are talking about this CEO and his colleague who showed up on the video board at the Coldplay show. What happens here? What happens now? Are concerts, are acts going to be more cautious about what they're showing on the video boards? Is it going
nope.
to be a running joke for like several weeks at concerts? Like,
you want to know what's going to happen? I can see it already. We see this at arenas where certain outrageous things get sort of put on there and they're clearly doing a thing. This is going to spread.
Oh, it's going to be a bit.
Yes. And because here's the thing. I didn't know Coldplay was on tour.
Really? They're in Madison this weekend.
Didn't know. not paying much attention to Coldplay, and I can't imagine I'm the only one that thought that. So you see it, and it serves now as an advertisement.
That's a good point.
So if you could create these fake viral moments, even though this one was real.
I would come to it and have it sign, "We are fooling around."
You would bring a poster board that says, fooling around right here.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. And I imagine also, like, if you think of, just think of the social media world, the influencer world. People are going to stage this even if the band or whoever isn't part of it.
Well,
you know?
You think about those videos, and again, we're talking about like the Jumbotron and the stuff that they put up there and how viral some of these videos go, and they're clearly a plant. We have talked about that here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy before. So do you think that teams start planting cheaters in the stands just to get a little bit of that viral?
I don't know about teams. I don't know how bad they want that, but I would think artists will certainly do stuff like that. On different scales. Like, I mean, Coldplay is really big. So, I mean, they're doing stadiums. So that's unique, but they'll do this at arenas and places like that. Totally.
So you mentioned Coldplay. Yesterday we were out to lunch, and at our lunch spot, they have added trivia / icebreaker cards at every table, which is kind of cool. So, you know, you sit down and you're like, ooh, let's pop this open. And one of the cards that my kiddos got yesterday was, if you could only listen to 3 acts for the rest of your life, 3 bands, 3. Now, Joshy, I feel like Grateful Dead is going to be on your list.
Uh-huh. So favorite music.
Go ahead and spoil that surprise. 3 acts for the rest of your life that you could listen to. Can you come up with it?
Can I come up with it? The thing is,
take your time. You don't have to do it right this
second. Thing is, the Grateful Dead is the one I know is there for sure. And likely artist from La Crosse, Bon Iver, would also be part of that. Uh-huh. And I feel like that...
Homer, do you know Bon Iver?
No. I don't even know Coldplay, though I've heard
you
of it.
No,
I've never heard a song of Coldplay.
That is such a lie. You've heard Coldplay.
If I have, I don't know
You're
that it's a Coldplay.
You didn't know that it was Coldplay.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. We're going to play some Coldplay as the show goes on and see if you recognize any of their big hits.
Probably.
They have several big hits over the years. The 3 acts, if you could only listen to 3 bands for the rest of your life, or artists... This is a Coldplay song.
I've heard this, yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, now we just put 2 and 2 together for you. So this is Coldplay.
I won't remember it's Coldplay after this show's over, but...
Maybe even after this segment. Yeah, very famous song by Coldplay. So give us your 3 musical acts. Homer, you got one off the top of your head?
Well, almost all the music I listen to now is Christian. Mercy Me would be it way above everything else. But... I'm just a bad person to ask. It's like asking me my favorite Spanish verses. I don't speak Spanish. I've never been had an interest in music. Young, the first two that I was, Elton John and Billy Joel, and then Bruce Springsteen that's a concert. People told me it can't be that good. And I'll never forget going like, this is a cult. He could leave and they would sing all his songs. Just, sorry, I gotta go do something else. You guys just take over. Keep playing. And then who was the sax player? Clarence Clemens.
Yeah.
I later on took my son to Metallica. That was the closest concert I've ever heard, close to Bruce Springsteen in terms of the fanaticism of the fans. But, yeah, I just went, he's not that good. They're just. So that would be my only contribution.
Get us your 3 acts this morning. The 3 acts or bands that you could listen to. If you could only listen to 3 for the rest of your life, there is no other music. You can't hear anything else except these 3 acts. Let us know what they are. I did figure out my 3 yesterday at lunch, so I'll talk about that as the show goes on. But Homer told me a great story about hearing Elton John, being at an Elton John concert. So we will tell that story this morning as well. We have Jason Wilde to talk Green Bay Packers. We have Craig Karmazin. We're going to talk to him about the Milwaukee Bucks. And maybe dive into those John Horst comments. Part 2 of Eric Name's conversation with John Horst is now out at The Athletic if you want to read about that. It's a little more micro. The first one was a little macro, treetops, talking about Giannis, talking about the philosophy of the organization. This is a little more micro, nailing down why they have brought back certain players. So we'll get into that this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with Homer filling in. Stick around.
Ready, down, put. all Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Exterior Pros. Ready to tackle your home improvement project this year? Exterior Pros in Baths is here to help you score big with quality home exterior and shower upgrades. Visit extpros.com. Also brought to you by Lakeland Supply. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com.
Well, this should be fun. Homer filling in for Chew and Gabe this morning with me, Jen. And now we have Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason.
Hello.
I know you didn't sign on for another segment with Homer, did you?
No, but I pushed my segment with him yesterday to today, so I haven't talked to him in a while. So yeah, I'm perfectly happy with this historic pairing.
This historic pairing, my goodness. I don't think anyone else will ever call it that. So Jason, we have obviously been talking about the Green Bay Packers. We are very much looking forward to training camp getting underway, but NFL.com released its top 25 under 25, and wouldn't you know it, for a team that prides itself on being so stinking young, Packers only have one player on the list, Edgerrin Cooper. What do you make of that? Should they have more, and again, maybe not from a league standpoint, but from a franchise standpoint, if being young is a premier philosophy?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about this is that, yes, they're definitely still young, but they're not as young as they used to be, right? Like, they've got a lot of guys now that are in year three or year four of their careers and are still, if we're being honest, have a lot to prove, right? I mean, that's what I think is kind of telling about where this team is. So if you go down their list of guys who are under 25. And 25 is an interesting cutoff line when we're going to judge the Packers and their youth. Because if you go through the guys who are exactly 25, and one is a really big one, and that's Xavier McKinney, he's 25. Jaden Reed is 25, so he's not eligible. I'm trying to think of who else is on that list.
Oh, this is excellent perspective, though, Jason.
So you know, I think what LaFleur said during the offseason program is we're still young, but we've got lots of experience. And I think that is one of the reasons why, despite having, as Tausch and I outlined yesterday, a ridiculous number of guys that are in, you know, pivotal, I have something to prove about who I am as an NFL player, whether it's Jordan Love proving he's more than just a good quarterback, but a very good or great or MVP caliber quarterback, or all those wide receivers who've all had their moments of really good football. I would say moments of brilliance, but not sustainably. Their offensive line with three guys that are all in the final year of their rookie contracts. Quay Walker and Devontae Wyatt, two first-round picks in 2022, who have had some good moments, but they certainly haven't shown that they are consistent, reliable, top-flight NFL players. And the list goes on and on. And so there's a lot of guys who are in that, you know, window of 25, 26. You know, Aaron Banks is 27, who they signed in free agency to play left guard. So there's still a largely young team, but because so many of these guys played right away because they had this youth movement, we've seen a lot of them and they don't feel quite as young, but they still are. And now's the time for them to play at a much higher level than they have.
So how good does a team have to do to play at that higher level? Or what's the dynamic of Goody saying, I messed up, or... Clearly, they have to do, I don't know, get in, win a couple games, or Otherwise, the talent is not what he thought it was, right?
Yeah, or this approach is not what he thought it was.
Well, that is not changing.
Right?
I mean, no, it's,
right.
Come on.
And that's my point, is that he's married to this approach, and he believes in it. I'll never forget talking to him after the 23 season where they, you know, win their last three after a very bad, what were they, 2-3 and 5, 2-5 to start that year. And then they obviously go down to Dallas and, you know, just light up Mike McCarthy's team. And then they have the 49ers on the ropes until basically Jordan Love throws a pick on the last pass of the third quarter. And then obviously Anders Carlson misses that critical field goal attempt. And Goody said, you know, I said, does the way this season went make you, you know, an even bigger believer in the value of having young players on your team? And he said, yeah, this is what it's all about. It's you play these guys early and you live with the growing pains and not getting the results you want, so you can then come out on the other side and they're so much better football players by the end of the season. And there's nothing wrong with that logic at all. But at some point, they have to elevate their games. And I know Gabe talks about this all the time on this show. Like, at some point, they need to become, some of them have to become stars. And because those guys, those perennial all-pro, Pro Bowl guys, you know, when you look at the championship teams through history, especially with the Packers in the last two Super Bowl title teams, they had stars all over the place. Now, they had other guys that were just really solid, good football players. But it tends to be the case, unless your quarterback is Hall of Fame caliber, which maybe Jordan Love will turn out to be that, but he has not shown that he will be that to this point. And I know Jordan Love's supporters love to compare his stats through his first two seasons to Aaron Rodgers' stats through his first two seasons, and I get that. But Aaron Rodgers was really good in 2009. He was certainly better in year two as a starter than Jordan Love was last year. And I know he had injuries and he had drops and everything else. And then in year three, they went to a Super Bowl and went and won it. Now, did they need help? Did, you know, DeSean Jackson's punt return keep them alive in the postseason run? Yes, those are all things that did happen. But at the same time, they got to the playoffs. And, you know, they went in on the road against the number one seed, and Aaron Rodgers played the best football game I've seen a quarterback play in person. And I covered a lot of really great Brett Favre games and a lot of great Aaron Rodgers games. And so do we think that right now, based on the evidence we have, that if Jordan Love takes the Packers into a matchup with the number one seed in the divisional round, he can put together a performance like Rodgers did? He was really good in Dallas.
No.
I don't think he was as good as Rodgers was, but we don't have the evidence of that yet. That doesn't mean he's not capable of it. But to go back to this list, they have a lot of good guys that are under 26 and under. So they're in that range. So I'm not going to kill, you know, Goody for not having more guys on this specific list. What I will keep saying is, all those guys and this philosophy about how you build a roster, it all comes down to this season. And if it does not lead to them being, you know, winning the division, playing in the divisional round or in the NFC championship game, if these guys don't elevate their games, then we have to have a conversation about, do they need to be a little different in their approach? They could still be prevalent in terms of how young they are, but do they also need to start augmenting with guys who've been there, done that, and really had genuine success in the NFL and are more veteran players?
I'm glad you brought up Jordan Love during that conversation, Jason, because it feels like we haven't talked about Jordan Love all that much, other than him obviously getting married this offseason. But there is still a microscope on the quarterback, a magnifying glass, if you will, for him needing to improve. Here is Booger, who was on, I believe, NFL Live this week, talking about the quarterback of the Green Bay Packers.
Because that's where he needs to go. because he's been given his money. They continue to go out and surround him with weapons. They took Matthew Golden from Texas in the first round, who ran 4.29, so a lot of speed. You're going to get Christian Watson back at some point. They got a plethora of wide receivers. So at what point, if you're Jordan Love, can you continue to take that next step? Matt LaFleur, one of the better play callers in the National Football League. So if I were him, I wouldn't be concerned about a step back. How can you continue to take the step forward? Because that's where your pay says you need to be, and that's where the team says you need to be in order for them to take the next step.
What is the Packers' ceiling if Jordan doesn't take that step forward? If he just stays at the level he's been at of what we have seen from him, taking again, I know it's hard because last year he was injured, so he's dealing with that. And the previous year, he obviously had that incredible run. If he doesn't improve, and this is what it is, what is the ceiling for the Packers this year?
Yeah, that's a really good question, Jen. I mean, look, I've used this line before. I hate to recycle it, but I like it so much that I'm going to. Right now, he's a guy that you can win with. He's not the guy that you win because of him. You win with him, not because of him. Now, can he elevate his game to the point that we're seeing games like that Atlanta game that we were just talking about, where the Packers won that game because of him? I know Tremont Williams had a great interception return for a touchdown just before half. That was huge. But the bottom line is that Jordan Love, other than that Dallas game where he obviously was magnificent, we don't have a lot of evidence that he is going to be the quarterback that they win because of, that can put his team on his back, and he's the one who makes them figure out a way to win. Again, that doesn't mean he can't do that. He's only been a starter for 2 years, and we live in such a, you know, sports commentary microwave society where everything, you know, we want our popcorn to be popped in a minute and a half, that we want to know, what is this guy? How good is he? What is his, you know, what is his ceiling? And it's just, I just don't know. Like, I don't know how to view last season. It's okay to say you don't know. Like, I understand his supporters want to lean on the injuries and on the drops. And my pushback to them is, if you're going to be a great NFL quarterback, you better figure out a way to win and play well, even when you're not 100%. And we criticize Rodgers for a lot of things, and we also got so spoiled by him that in 2022, when he plays with a broken thumb that he suffered in London, how many people talked about, oh, well, he was playing with a broken thumb. It was, what happened to this guy? This guy sucks, right? I mean, no, and his predecessor did it twice, and Brett Favre was an American hero for playing with a broken thumb. So Rodgers played with a separated throwing shoulder in his first season as the starter. He played with that tibial plateau fracture in his knee that he suffered in the opener in 18. He played with a torn calf down the stretch in 2014 when they lost in Seattle in the NFC title game. Like, injuries are part of the game. And that's another aspect of Jordan's game that he has to figure out a way to still be effective even when he's not 100%. So what is their ceiling if he doesn't elevate his game? Probably around where it's been the last 2 years. Maybe they, you know, are a wild card, win a playoff game, and reach the divisional round. Maybe they don't even do that like they did last year.
Yeah, that's how crucial it is. Last thing for you, Jason, before we let you go. Three bands or artists or acts. You can only listen to three for the rest of your life. This was prompted by one of those icebreaker cards at lunch yesterday with my family. Who would they be?
Well, Coldplay.
Obviously. I mean, to be relevant, if for nothing else.
I do actually really enjoy their music.
Are you going? You know, they're playing at Camp Randall.
Yeah, I am not with training camp. We got a few things with the girls that we're doing before things get a little crazy. But right now, the three, like, artist stations that I have in heavy rotation on my SiriusXM app are Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, and Coldplay.
That's pretty good. Have you seen any of them?
I saw my claim to, this isn't fame, but, you know, I went to UW, and in 1991, this band that I was vaguely familiar with, they had just released their first album. was playing at this dump of a bar called the R&R Station, which was about a half a mile from my apartment. It's basically where the Kohl Center is now. And I couldn't get any of my roommates to go. And it was like on a Thursday night or something. And so I walked and went to the concert by myself. Stood there by myself and listened to this grunge band who had not hit it big yet. And it was Pearl Jam.
Awesome.
And if you go to their website, you can find the like playlist from that night. Like it's, it was, you feel really cool then when they become as big as they have. And you're like, hey, I was there before they were really that big. So yeah, that's my, I'm sort of cool, but not really list.
That's great. And Homer's going to share his Elton John story this morning as well, because he told me a really cool, similar story about Elton John. You guys know how to pick them. That's what the lesson here is. Jason Wilde, thanks for hanging out with us this morning. Have a great weekend. And thankfully, to your point, training camp is right around the corner.
Indeed it is. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
That's Jason Wilde. You can hear him on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Lakeland Supply is in the business to make your business better. Set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. That's lakelandsupply.com. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on right after this. Stick around.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Thanks, Ernie. I'm going to Venmo you that money right after the show.
You can't. You don't know how to use Venmo.
Made my workload much less. But, Ernie.
You don't know how to.
Ernie,
do it, and I don't know
does
how to
it ever?
It, so
it, yeah.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We have enjoyed having Professional Construction Inc. help us with our home projects. As you might know, my husband and I, we can handle a few things. In fact, you'd be really impressed, because right now we are actually caulking and sanding and painting my closet. So
you have fixed things.
I fix things.
Yes, you don't. Do you tell people that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. Do you know that? Yes, do you know how
things.
Well she can fix things?
We've
like
discussed.
She could have a business fixing stuff. No, you'd have to get better at it, but you have the mentality and the understanding and the ability in that world, right?
Yes,
okay,
yes.
That's all. Sorry,
and when
bye.
We can't fix the things, we call our friends over at PCI. Of course, Mike and Michelle operate a family-owned company. They build relationships and do exceptional work on your projects. Go see their work at ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. It's ProfessionalConstructionInc.com. If you missed Jason Wilde just a few moments ago, you can find it on the all-new ESPN Wisconsin app. That's where we put all of Jason Wilde's content, because we know that you guys love it and we know that you guys eat it up. And of course, we are all excited about training camp. But he also told us a story about how in 1991, he saw Pearl Jam, before they were Pearl Jam, you know, before everybody knew Pearl Jam, at R&R Station in Madison. And he went by himself because he couldn't convince any of his friends to go with him. Homer, you told me a similar story about one Elton John back in the
right.
day.
Right. And I think at that time I was 17. I had gone to one concert. I went to the Fifth Dimension. Don't ask me why. But anyway, and then at a tennis match, a guy had a cassette recorder back then. And he was playing a song. I said, who's that? He goes, well, that's Elton John. I think the song was Tiny Dancer. And I'd never heard of Elton John, didn't know anything and didn't do anything. And then a couple months later, he's at South Bend and Notre Dame. I think I'll go see, I wonder how good he is. And it was, came in blue jeans and a t-shirt. And I left going, he's being, you know, knowing nothing about music. I was just in awe of how good he was. And so that was, I think that was his first tour in the United States. He started in Los Angeles and then
made his way to South Bend, Indiana.
Weird. Well, Notre Dame would have concerts on football weekends that were pretty good. Not that I ever went to any of them. But no, I don't know. It was like watching Dwayne Wade in Alaska. It's like,
sure.
I'm watching the Beatles in Liverpool. This is unbelievable. Everybody should watch him play. So.
And you told me when we were talking about the three acts, right? The three bands. If you could only listen to three bands for the rest of your life, some people have called it the Deserted Island albums. You said Elton John would on that list?
Oh, yes. I mean, my list is so short. You could have a list of 1,000 I've never heard of, don't know who the songs are. I don't feel qualified to get into this, but then Billy Joel, when I heard Piano Man the first time, that was the first album I ever bought. I pulled off the street in Los Angeles and pulled over to a gas station. Said, I got to find a record store. This guy, Billy, I didn't even know the song I just heard. And then, it's just, it's weird because I'm the worst person to even talk about it, but those would be it. And then going to a Bruce Springsteen concert, which was not even to go to hear him. I was going because it can't be this good. It's like when they told me about Michael Jordan, can't be that good. Well, both were that good. I maybe there are other people. And, you know, they talk about, what are the other groups? Grateful Dead or the, who are the craziest fans? But I don't know, do the fans of other groups sing every song, every word of every song?
Yes, I think to an extent. And I think once you reach a certain level, I mean, the Grateful Dead has such an extensive catalog that ranges into the days in terms of amount of music they've made. But the top 10 songs, people will sing every last word.
But I apologize because all my suggestions are 40 years old. I'm like Don Hudson. I don't know who the groups are in the last.
The Grateful Dead fan base is so intense that the same exact song, people can tell you exactly what concert it happened on what day.
Yeah.
Like just the same exact
Jimmy song. Jimmy Buffett?
Yes, I would think that's
a good one. Absolutely. And when you talk about a fan base that is, you know, very well known, the Parrotheads. So, Josh, you told us Grateful Dead as one of yours. You said Bon Iver. Did you give us a third, or were you still marinating on it?
I'm still marinated on it.
This is the tough one.
It's such a big decision.
Yeah. That final third band. Lots of reaction rolling in on the Carbless Talk and text line this morning. Nicholas in the 414 says Billy Joel, The Beatles, and Michael Jackson. That's a pretty good little catalog, and you obviously are familiar with Michael Jackson's
work. I want to apologize to Casting Crowns. It's a Christian group, but
yeah,
I've seen them
good.
More than any other group in my life. I've probably been to 10 of their concerts. I think my record for someone else is 1.
Okay. Jay in the 262 says Kiss, Journey, and Night Ranger. Again, these are older bands, but also good ones. You know, if you want to talk about the longevity and the legacy of some of these bands. Billy in Sussex says Dave Matthews Band, Eric Church, and Kid Rock. Alan says, so many bands I have listened to, there's no possible way I could choose just 3. Rudy says Steely Dan, which we know is one of Chewy's favorite bands, Dave Matthews Band, and Billy Joel. Nirvana, Tool, and Violent Femmes, that from Jer in Sun Prairie. What I find interesting is a lot of these are older bands. And I think I saw there's been a study done. There have been a lot of studies done, actually, about music and the relationships we make with music. But the music that we listen to in adolescence is often the music that you listen to for the rest of your life. There is something, Homer, about the bond that we make with the music during that phase of our life that then continues. I don't know if it's nostalgia, if it's as simple as that, but that continues throughout every decade of our life. Do you buy that?
Yeah, sure, because I think it's true of your favorite athletes, too.
Okay.
The ones you remember when you were young, the ones that have the greatest.
The ones that you see and are like.
Yeah.
Connected to.
Childish wonderment about.
Yes.
Sort of the athlete and
even
the
artist.
Oh, I
thought you had picked your third band finally. And you were telling us childhood wonderment or childish.
I don't know if I could realistically give an option. I was like, I'm going here and looking at, because Apple will do like your most played artist. And it's so varied by year to year. Like,
but if to me, the answer to the question is if there was a concert and you could go, what would be the ones you would want to go to the most?
The thing is, the music I listened to when I was young is not the music I listen to really at all anymore.
Interesting.
Which
there's still 3 concerts that you would go to. I mean, you know Peep. Call Craig. I want to go to these 3 concerts. I think he can take care of you. But what would the 3 be?
I mean, the one recently right now is Tyler Childers, who I'm seeing on next Saturday.
Where is he the next Saturday?
Alpine Valley.
All right.
Yes.
East Troy action.
In terms of like, because the other band I've seen the most is Dave Matthews Band, which just got mentioned, but I rarely ever listen to them anymore. But there was a time in high school where that was the thing we all did with all our friends, and we went to all 2 to 3 nights every single year they were in town.
Ugh. Yeah.
Like, I've probably seen them 20 plus times.
It was a significant commitment.
Yes. Yes.
800-990-3776. Get us your three acts this morning. Your three acts. Again, this prompted by a card yesterday at lunch that said, if you could listen to three acts / bands / artists for the rest of your life, and only those three, what would it be? It is tough to nail down that final one, right? Because you could go in a bunch of different directions. I'll give you one of mine. James Taylor. I could listen to James Taylor for the rest of my days. He's got some really good stuff. Now, mellow, but I'm in my mellow phase, okay? I don't need like I can't handle that right now, okay? I got enough stress and anxiety in my life that just amplifies it, all right? I need chill. I need yacht rock. I need James Taylor. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on right after this. But before we do, guys, I want to tell you about my friends over at the We Sell Group. That's right. You guys know that we have been looking for a lake house. And yes, it is a long process. And yes, it is taking us a while because we are very particular about what we're looking for. But you know what? That doesn't scare off the folks at the We Sell Group at Keller Williams. They understand that it's not always about closing deals. It's about finding the right fit for each and every family. So Rob and Nick have been patient, informative, and available throughout the process. It is so clear that their passion is people. Maybe you're ready to move right now. Maybe you're just starting to look, or maybe you're thinking about selling your home. The We Sell Group is on the journey with you every step of the way. You can start your journey today at wesell.kw.com. That's wesell.kw.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
If it's gotten to the point...
I don't think shower.
What do you mean? What do you mean you're not going to take a shower? You just told me you're offended by your own BO.
No, but I think it's deodorant, Gabe. Showering does nothing. It really doesn't.
You are wrong.
Because
you must be showering wrong.
On 94.5 ESPN.
So good. And so long. This is about... Back then, you didn't have songs this long.
I guess. That's what people told me. I didn't listen to enough to know.
Yeah?
It's like 5.5.
Beautiful. It's a gorgeous song. And I noticed that your picks with the Elton John and the Billy Joel, maybe not the Bruce Springsteen, but piano. A lot of piano, right?
Yeah, Billy Harry Joel, Chapin. That was the one I learned about afterwards. Taxi. Taxi is one of the greatest songs. I mean, I like stories, I guess.
Well, I am a huge fan of stories and songs, but my favorite is Jim Croce, Operator.
Yeah,
great
good too.
Story, right? You're following along on this journey. Oh, it's beautiful. Anyway, now I'm showing my age. Lots of reaction rolling in this morning on your three bands, your three acts. If you could only listen to three acts for the rest of your days, what would they be? Jim and Sheboygan weighing in saying Queen, Beatles, and Prince. Oh, Prince is a good one, man. What a catalog Prince has. That would be something I would also consider as my final submission for my top three. Queen, Eagles, Springsteen, Showing My Age, says Steve in Middleton. Rush, REO, Speedwagon, Foreigner, that from Don in Mayville. A lot of these, again, older bands, but really good, solid bands, right? Like the ones that you know the songs because you've heard them for decades. Tom Petty, Counting Crows, AJR, that from AJ in Baltimore.
What band is Neil Peart the drummer? My son.
Rush.
Me. Rush, yeah. He's greatest drummer I ever heard. I still don't know any of their songs.
But you just know that he's a drummer.
Well, I heard a song where he's playing the drums, and I thought, this is unbelievable. I would like to put Michael Jackson on my list. I'm not worthy of a list, but I could. Because I'm old enough to know when he was 2 years old or 4 years old when he was first singing.
Uh-huh.
And I think he was, I'm not qualified, but I just think he was a musical genius, all the things that he did. I'll defer to somebody else saying that's stupid.
Guys in the YouTube stream are talking about their first concerts as well. Jeff says, I saw Captain and Tennille, Barry Manilow, and Tina Turner. Am I old? You're just seasoned, Jeff. You're not old. You're just seasoned.
You're nice. That's old.
Lee Bryce, and then a few that I'm not familiar with. That from Jason in the 414. I'll have to work my way through that one. Scott weighing in saying, honorable mention to the Happy Schnapps combo because the Bears still suck. So apparently that is the artist who wrote that song, who performed that song. Elton John, the Eagles, and Michael Jackson, that from Augie in Fredonia. Keep getting us your top three acts. If you could only listen to three acts. This is a little inspired by the Coldplay stuff that was shaken around yesterday, the Coldplay story. But again, we went out to lunch yesterday and there was a a icebreaker card at the table that said, if you could only listen. And look, it was fun to hear my kiddos, right? Like, my, I have a 16-year-old.
What did they pick?
So they're very into Benson Boone right now. Right. So he was on all of their lists. Taylor Swift, very popular with the 7-year-old and the 5-year-old girls, right? So if they could only listen to, and then
but that's much wider than that. Like, Taylor Swift is off the charts for people of all ages,
yeah,
right?
Or, sure. But again, for my 5 and 7-year-old, I don't know that they know a lot of artists. You know, they know a lot of songs, but Taylor Swift and Benson Boone right now are on their list. And it's cool to just kind of hear their perspective on it as well. Joshy, how's it going picking that third act, picking that third band?
Oh, I was also just thinking about how there was a time where Kanye West would have won this one, Running Away.
Really?
I'm also thinking here, like, extensiveness of the catalog. Because as part of this, like with the Grateful Dead, I get untold amounts of music. And I don't want to, because there's plenty of bands who I very much enjoy, but have like 2 albums and then they broke up and went away or, you know, whatever happened. But there was not in the past, let's say, 8 years of anything Kanye West and his music is worth it. But those early four or five albums are, I didn't listen to anything more than that for a period of my life.
I'll never forget being at a girlfriend's wedding. This must have been 20 years ago now when we were just, you know, out of college. And her little sister, who must have been, again, 8, 9 at the time, singing every word of Gold Digger. Okay? Like, she was 8!
Uh-huh.
Now, I ain't saying she's a gold digger. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Craig Karmazin coming in studio with us after this break. Stick around 2 minutes.